Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. It is almost time to bid farewell to 2025, but before 2026 kicks off, we thought we'd hit rewind and reflect on some of the major financial news events and developments that happened throughout the year. And I'm very pleased to say that joining me today to do that is my boss, editor-in-chief of Money Magazine, Michelle Baltazar. Michelle, welcome to your own podcast.
Hello, hello. 2025 is now coming to an end. There's been a lot of great news, bad news, positive news. But hey, I must say that I'm looking forward to sitting down and celebrating with my family over Christmas.
Me too, Michelle. And do you know what? I did a quick kind of like look back, and we haven't done an episode together, at least not that I can see, since we did this kind of very same themed topic back in 2022. Can you believe that?
It is crazy. Time flies for sure.
Mm. 3 years. 3 years. It's about time we did it again. Anyway, let's crack into things. We're going to start today by selecting our three biggest financial news events of the year. So take us away, Michelle. Where would you like to start?
Well, I thought I'd start with some lighthearted news, but no, seriously, 2025, it is really disappointing that we saw the collapse of Shield Master Fund, which is a super fund, and we saw thousands of investors lose their retirement savings. So that became the news around June to August this year. Fortunately, Macquarie, which was one of the platforms that offered this product, said that they would return the money, the total amount of funds, to the investors. So that was good. But for 3 months, all we read about is this terrible news about people losing their money.
And so many people, so much money. And I think it was a kind of real wake-up call to, I guess, some of the different kind of players within the superannuation industry that people really don't know much about. So a sad one to start with, Michelle, but like you said, a topic that definitely dominated headlines for a few months. So did the first topic that I want to chat about, and that's kind of a broader theme that's happened throughout the year, which is share market volatility. I think we all know that. We've all seen that. But the kind of the big event that I think back to was back in April, when global markets tanked after the Trump administration's so-called Liberation Day. Do you remember that? When they announced all these sweeping tariffs to every man and his dog in Macquarie Island and penguin inhabited islands and everyone else. And that obviously, kind of ended up with a bit of a market, downfall, at least for a period of time. And obviously we've had a few other tariff related jolts since then. And then more recently, we've had concerns around the possibility of an AI bubble, which have, jolted share markets as well. So, share market turbulence, volatility, that has definitely been a theme for this year. But the Liberation Day kind of drop definitely stood out for me. Anyway, what's your second story of the year?
Yes. Oh, who knew tariffs would be something be used by everyone talking about the tariff cuts and everything else. But yeah, besides the tariffs, the Shield Master Fund, I think all eyes were on rates this year. And we did get three rate cuts, one in February, another one in May, and the last one this year was back in August. So we went from 4.35% to 3.6%, which I think is great. However, there were expectations of another rate cut, but we ended up on hold. So I thought that was also one of the big stories this year.
Huge, Michelle. And someone who covers the RBA every month is definitely one that I was keeping track of throughout the year. And, was a little bit surprised by where we've ended up. And the fact that, as you said, we haven't had another rate cut. But, I guess we'll see what 2026 holds in terms of rates. I think you've teed me up very nicely as well, because my next kind of big story or theme of the year definitely relates to interest rates, and that's house prices. Because after a pretty muted start to the year, at least in terms of house price growth, the last few months has really seen home prices kind of accelerate again. I think looking back at some of the totality figures, there was a 1.2 or 1.1% increase in October, and then followed by another 1% increase in November. So really kind of ticking back up. And I think the median price that Cotality puts on national home prices, or the median value, I should say, is now $888,000. So just an incredible sum. And this obviously relates to the larger issue of housing affordability, which is, you know, something that's been present for a while in Australia. It's one that's not going away anytime soon. And this recent bout of growth just makes it even more unaffordable for people trying to crack into the market, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, housing affordability, when will houses be affordable? Yeah. One of my favorite pastimes, Tom, is looking at Domain and how much houses cost around Western Sydney. And I'll see a fairly modest house and it's like 4 million or 5 million. And I'm like, how is that a 4 million property? Or you look at a studio, and a studio is a great entry point for a young investor, and they're like around the 500,000 mark, 600,000 mark, which you would normally use to buy a house more than a decade ago. But that definitely is, I believe, that's something that we'd probably see through in 2026, where we talk about this and you'll be reporting about prices going up. But for me, the third and last highlight, and I thought we'd end on good news, is the Help to Buy scheme. So this month, we had the Help to Buy shared equity scheme officially launched, which will help 10,000 Aussies kind of get a home, you know, get their first home. And that's through this generous 40% contribution for the government for new homes, 30% for existing homes, and requiring just 2% deposit. So let's pause on that. When I first started trying to save up, you're looking at a 20% deposit. Today, you can get one for 2% if you're eligible for this Help to Buy shared equity scheme.
And you teamed up perfectly there as well, Michelle, because we just recorded an episode all about the Help to Buy scheme, which should be in people's feeds in the new year, I believe. So stay tuned for that, and a bit more of a deep dive into how that works, which is obviously useful for first home buyers. And on your kind of positive note, I also thought I'd choose a bit more of a positive story for my final one, and I actually nicked it from you. So this was your idea, but I'm going to steal it because it was so good. And that's the news that kind of has kind of come out in the last couple of weeks, months about the student debt relief finally flowing through. So for those that bit of a celebration. So for those who need a refresher, a couple of million current and former students are currently seeing or might have already seen 20% of their existing student loan balances wiped out by the federal government. So depending on how much you owe, that could be hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. So, you know, it's a bit of a win for many younger Australians, which, you know, given some of the other challenges that they're facing, some that we've already talked about, you know, it's a positive, and even if it's a small one. Anyway, Michelle, for our next section, I'd love to hear about a development from 2025 that you thought was, I guess, really positive or negative or surprising. So what did you pick out?
All right. So maybe not the sexiest legislation ever in the history of, you know, financial services legislation, but I would like to encourage our listeners to really think about the upcoming Payday Super. So that's slated for June or July next year, where commencing, you know, July 1, all companies need to pay superannuation into their, you know, staff's bank account the same day that they get their pay. Now, you might think, haven't I been getting it the same time? Absolutely not. It depends on your company. Some of them would pay 2 weeks later. Some of them would pay a month later. But by law, currently, they can sit on your money for 3 months before they legally need to pay you your super. What does that mean? It is dangerous if you work in hospitality, because if for some reason you're let go or the restaurant shuts down, then you don't get your super. So bookmark that payday super, check your payslip, and make sure that the company that you work for is following the law.
That's a great one, Michelle. And we always love to stress at Money how important and useful it is to check in on your super regularly. And I think this is just another good opportunity for people to do that. So we'll look out for that when it kicks off in July next year. Mine also kicks off in July next year. And I went for a bit of a surprising development. For the last couple of years, I've attended the budget lockup, which has been great. But I didn't this year, partly because we didn't think anything that interesting was actually going to come out of it.
It's always the case when you go, oh, it's not going to rain, or I'm not going to bring my umbrella. That's when it rains.
Exactly, because the government, very sneakily, I might say, had an income tax cut up their sleeve, which surprised everyone. I don't think anyone was expecting that. So they did a really good job keeping that close to their chest. So anyway, from July 2026, income tax rates for the lowest income bracket, which is $18,000 to $45,000, I think, that'll drop from 16% to 15%. And then the following year, it'll drop from 15% to 14%. So everyone should see a bit of a tax cut from July next year, which, you know, it's never a bad thing to have a bit more money in your pocket. So I'll be looking out for that. And speaking of looking out for that, Michelle, our next section is all about what we're going to be watching out for in 2026. So what are you going to be keeping an eye out on next year?
Not unexpected. We've talked about ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, name it, AI agents was the thing to talk about this year. However, how it translates to our own bank balance, our investments, our super, is this prediction that maybe the AI bubble is going to burst in 2026. And honestly, I don't want us to be in this position of being caught out by that. I think we should be looking at it, thinking about it, and how do we make sure we protect our own savings from a potential AI bubble bursting. So that is probably something that I would say in the new year. I'm looking at my own investment portfolio, checking my super, and just saying, well, how exposed am I to AI companies, whether it's Nvidia, Meta, Alphabet, Microsoft, and just making sure that I'm well diversified. What about you?
The issue that I'm going to be watching next year is something we've already talked about, which is interest rates. I think I mentioned that it's definitely something that I write about a lot for money. So I'll be keeping tabs on that either way. But I'm just genuinely curious to see where inflation goes next year, and then, you know, depending on that, what the RBA decides to do with the cash rate. Is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? Is it going to be a bit of a long hold? We just don't know. Things feel very much up in the air, I should say, at the moment. But things also change quickly. So who knows? We'll see what happens, and we'll be here at Money to report on whatever does happen. And it could be a cut, could be a hold, could be a raise. But we'll have that news for you. So stay tuned for that.
Well, the scary prediction is that we will get a rate hike. So a final note from me for 2025, do not overborrow, because we could be facing another year of 1, 2, or 3 rate hikes. Michelle is not being secretive about it. She's already hinted that there's a possible rate hike next year.
We'll just wait and see. And as I said, we'll be here at Money to report on that if it does happen. Anyway, Michelle, this has been great fun, but we'll wrap things up for today here. I believe this episode is airing on Christmas Eve. So assuming that is the case, Merry Christmas for tomorrow to you and to everyone listening, and also a Happy New Year for next week as well.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
That is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson.
And my name is Michelle Baltazar.
Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.